give a short introduction about the Frostpact framework, and then we will start the scientific session with Skouli as a chair. So first, I use the microphone and suggest to use the microphone because we make video recording. Of course, if any lecturer don't want his lecture to be recorded, say, please tell us. But we have the capability of record the lectures, and the plan is to put it on a web page, which is a special web page for such purposes. For the location, if you go out here, you see a sunbathing terrace. Turn left and you will find a small bridge to a small island if you want to swim in the lake. If you go through the sunbathing terrace, you will find another building with inside swimming pool, sauna, workout room, and you can use it. Okay, the Finnish sauna is free, the infrared is not free, any kind of this. Enjoy the place. Then, the basic assumption behind the program is that the self-organizing capability of the company will increase in time. So they organized their field the first day with lectures every minute, but this is only for today. Evening left is free. Tomorrow morning also lectures. After the lunch, we will have a discussion section chaired with Liz, and after that, we will have the excursion. And Wednesday morning, we will have the last lecturing section, and Wednesday afternoon is left free, because the assumption is that we will self-organize ourselves to spend that time usefully. Of course, I will take part of this self-organizing process, but only as a member of it. Okay, this is the basic assumption. I think I told everything, and now I ask Ulf.
Okay, good morning, everybody. It's a great pleasure to welcome you after Geza here to this beautiful location and to hopefully very exciting couple of days on speciation research, biodiversity, and niche theory. What I will do is just to give a brief introduction here to the network, the research networking program that is funding this event. That's the Frontiers in Speciation Research, which the European Science Foundation is very kindly supporting with €500,000 for a period of 5 years from 2008 to 2013. The reason that Åke Brännström, whom we will also see shortly here in front, up front, and I were thinking about organizing such a research networking program was because we recognize that there is a lot going on in speciation research, that the political or practical dimensions of understanding biodiversity dynamics are profound, and also that there is a lot of scope for improving the dialogue between or among all the researchers that are, who are doing this kind of research. There's a certain degree of fragmentation, and we hope that Frostpact is contributing to overcoming that. So as I said, the challenge that we are probably all very interested in is understanding the marvelous biodiversity we see around us, the structures nature has created for us to study. And as I said, there is a certain reawakening maybe or revival of exciting thinking in the area of speciation research. And here I've just picked out a few topics that I personally perceive as innovative in the recent debate. So I think we can safely say that old divisions, especially those between allopatric versus sympatric speciation, are gradually becoming less relevant. The debate is somehow shifting to other topics, and this becomes a bit relegated to the background. Also, while we're digging in deeper, we recognize that these categories are a bit too coarse to capture what maybe nowadays is perceived as essential. In this context, the importance of parapatric speciation, I think, is increasingly appreciated. The truly, fully 100% sympatric cases and the fully allopatric cases are extremes, and maybe all the exciting stuff is happening in various degrees of parapatry. In this context, the ecological role, or the role of ecological drivers in speciation processes, is receiving mounting attention under headings such as competitive speciation, ecological speciation, or adaptive speciation. All this, of course, is happening against the background of this impressive genomic revolution, where data is becoming available at unprecedented levels of detail, and that allows us to infer past evolutionary processes in a way we never could before. All this is leading to revisiting previously uncontested notions and null hypotheses. So a lot of the stuff that was maybe accepted until proven wrong now is also in need of some checking. And the process-oriented perspectives, I believe, are gaining ground. So that's, I think, related to, on the one hand, better data, and on the other hand, better models, that we are not forced just to focus on pattern. We can afford gradually to focus more on process, and of course the real challenge is to link pattern and process, to infer past process from present pattern. So here's a list of the research challenges in which context Frostbix is operating. Of course, Frostbix is not delivering research results, but stimulating research. But this all happens under topics such as understanding the conditions under which alternative speciation modes are occurring, realizing that probably there are such conditions under which more or less each mode of speciation that has been contended is occurring somewhere in nature. Combining empirical insights with theoretical advances, I think that's really in need of strengthening, and bring together developments in ecology, taxonomy, and genetics. And again, I think it's especially the dialogue between the genomics people and the ecologists that can be very fruitful here. Elucidating the importance of spatial structure, genetic architecture, reproductive isolation, mating traits, and ecological characteristics for alternative speciation modes, directly linked to the first topic: what are the conditions fostering these alternative modes to occur in nature? And then hopefully we are all contributing a little bit to advancing integrative analysis by bringing together researchers from all aspects and areas of speciation research. Back to Frostbix. It's supported by 18 out of ESF's national members, member organizations, and you see them here in light green. So we have a fairly good coverage of the ESF our family. As you know, this is happening in the so-called a la carte format, so the members can decide which initiatives to support, and Frostbix has received good support. It's running for 5 years, as I said, with a total budget of $500,000. These are the main instruments that we have devised to let Frostbix flourish. We have two conferences. One happened in December last year in Austria. The next one will happen in 2013, and we are thinking about Montpellier in France. We have altogether 7 targeted workshops, and these are really the backbone or the core operation of Frostbix, in my opinion. This is the second of these 7 workshops. For the younger scientists, or more in general, for building and transferring knowledge, there are 4 schools, both on the modeling aspects and on the aspects of analyzing empirical data, and again both from the genetics and from the ecological point of view. We also support 8 symposia, or will support 8 symposia. I think 3 of those have happened, and these are subject to open calls. So anytime you wish to organize a symposium related to speciation research, in particular in conjunction with existing conferences, you're very welcome to submit an application, and we will consider it. And in a similar vein, we have 40 to 50 travel grants over the full 5-year operation of the network to disperse. And again, that is based on an open call, which has a quarterly assessment round. So every 15th of, December, and then March, June, and September, we evaluate the received applications and award relatively small travel grants on the order of 1,500 euros to young scientists. If you would like to learn more, or perhaps you already have learned more about Frostbacks, you can do so at this website, which is probably also mentioned somewhere in the conference booklet, and you can also download this promotional brochure on which the ESF is very keen and which cost us some effort to distribute, but I think now the website is actually more important. So with that, I hand over to Auke, the co-chair of Frostbacks, and he will tell you a bit more about the forthcoming activities.
Yes, thank you, Ulf. So this is the second workshop that Frostbacks has the pleasure of supporting. But there are more workshops lined up. And on this slide, you can see a brief overview. In September, so already next month, we're planning a hybridization and speciation workshop. Then next year, Frostbacks will organize a workshop on genetics and genomics of speciation, followed by community evolution and speciation. So the community evolution and speciation workshop will perhaps be a bit more to the theoretical side and focus on how community interactions then promote speciation through various processes. Then we have behavior and speciation in 2013, and a workshop on modes on diversification, which we try to elucidate how different processes may lead to speciation and how one can understand and infer which processes have taken place. There are also two schools upcoming. Prospect has already organized two schools, and there are two more that will be organized. And the first of those is current methods of speciation research. It will cover modern empirical techniques for studying speciation. It also includes one component, which is an introduction to theoretical speciation research. And then that same month, there will also be a theoretical school that should cover theoretical methods of speciation research. And similarly, this theoretical school will contain one component which introduces empirical methods. So in this way, we hope to bridge between researchers from theoretical and empirical backgrounds and also transfer some knowledge between those two domains. Finally, in 2013, we will organize the second conference. Some of you may already have been to the first conference that Frostbacks organized last year, Speciation 2010, and this will then be followed up by a conference in 2013 that will round off the network activities. We also have open calls, and these calls are first for symposia, and second for travel grants, which are primarily then aimed at young scientists. And if you're interested in applying either for a symposia or a travel grant, you can find the information on our website. So you've already seen this, but you now have, again, the web address at this slide. The deadline, as Ulf mentioned, for the next round should be September 15, so you still have some time to prepare an application. Okay, then I think in conclusion, I will just say that if you're interested in knowing more and you have some question which isn't covered at the website, you're very welcome to ask Ulf, me, or any of the other steering committee members of Frostbex which are present at this workshop. Okay, and with that, I think we can probably get the scientific program going. So thank you.